Welcome, everybody, to the Boiler Alert Podcast. With you, as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Ryan Bonaparte.
And we're here today, of course, to talk about March Madness. It is March, and it's already madness. We're going to talk Purdue's game against Farley Dickinson in the second half. In the first half, though, we're going to kind of look more broadly at March Madness and maybe what Ryan and I picked in our brackets, so you can go ahead and dunk on us later in the comments. But before we get started on that, I want to let you know, you guys know we changed the name of the podcast, and it will no longer be affiliated with SB Nation. It was originally going to be at the end of February, but they extended it to the end of March. And now they've kind of walked that back. So it looks like if everything goes according to plan, this podcast, we're recording it Thursday evening, and it should push live Thursday evening because they're going to transition us over to the new system Friday morning. So that could mean two things for you, but they'll be solved rather quickly. So one, it could mean that this podcast doesn't show up in your feed right away if the disruption happens earlier. Rest assured, if you update, it will be there, and we'll put this on the site when we post it. Two, you're going to notice that the graphic and the name for the podcast may go blank or may revert to just a generic name for a few hours. When that happens, that is when we are able to go in. We've got new artwork ready to go, and obviously we're going by Boiler Alert now, so we're going to put that in there. But we have to wait for official word from Megaphone and Anchor and SB Nation and everyone involved before we can go in and make those changes. But once that is done, we can go in and give those things an update, and then there should be no more interruptions from that point forward. But they told us that it would happen Friday morning and should only take a couple hours. But you just never know when something like this happens, so we want to be prepared in case something bad does happen in the transition. That's why we're pushing this one out on Thursday night rather than Friday morning.
Yep.
So we did, everything has been signed. We've signed a new contract. I now am the owner of this podcast feed, SB Nation. As of the transition, will no longer be the owner. I did have to sign an anti-disparagement clause, so I will not be dunking on SB Nation on any of these podcasts. But, you know, if you have questions, feel free to reach out. No, I'm just kidding. I have no problems. You know, we're good to go. I understand it's a business decision, but I'm glad Ryan and I can find a way to keep this going because it's been a lot of fun. So all of the housekeeping out of the way, Ryan, how's your bracket looking after most of day one of March Madness?
Well, one of my final four is gone.
Oh, who? Arizona?
Virginia.
Oh, Virginia.
I just, for some reason, thought they could, you know, take on Alabama, and they couldn't even take on Furman.
Yeah, that, it was a heck of a game. Heck of a game. So I'll tell you, I had Arizona in the Final Four. So
okay.
I'm right there with you. one of my Final Four already gone. Man, I cannot believe they lost to Princeton. I mean, yes. Just astounding. Just incredible.
But are you one of those people that makes, like, one bracket?
Oh, yeah, I only make one. Make one. What about you?
I am not. I have 10 of them.
Oh, that's ready. Unbelievable. Unacceptable. You're a coward.
I shall say, in fairness, I do them separate ways each way.
What does that even mean?
Okay, one bracket, I literally took all the mascots and went by mascots.
Ryan, you sound... Okay, so...
I have one true, like, I think this is going to happen bracket.
Is that the one you entered in the Hammer and Rails contest?
Yes, it is. Okay. That's the one with Virginia as my final four.
Let me tell you.
Obviously, it's not that good.
Let me tell you. So, for years, my dad was a high school teacher, and for years, he was the one of the teachers who ran, like, their bracket pool. So he was, you know, he was the one collected all the money, did all the grading of them, and, you know, at the end of the end of the season, you know, said who won and all that. And as a kid growing up, I always, like, I was fascinated by it. I loved seeing what everybody picked and seeing, you know, because I knew a lot of the teachers growing up because he was at this high school his entire career. So I grew up around a lot of these folks. And invariably, there would always be someone, usually an English teacher, who knew nothing about sports and would just pick the teams based on colors or mascots or fun names and would be in, like, the top three.
Yep, always.
And, you know, for someone like my dad who watched a lot of college basketball and for me who watched a lot of college basketball, we were always so frustrated by that because we felt like, you know, we were the kids who did the homework. And then somebody comes up and aces the exam while just, you know, waltzing in with doing no research. And it was always so frustrating. But I guess that's both the beauty and the agony of March Madness.
Yeah, absolutely. Just so you know, the mascot challenge, the winner was the Blue Devils.
Just because it's a devil?
Yeah, pretty much.
So wait, okay, so Purdue mascot is a train. Who beat the train? The devil?
Yeah.
I guess, because of the regions?
Yeah, I mean, he's got some powers. It was really interesting when I got to Hurricanes versus Cyclones.
Okay, I guess Hurricane.
Yeah, I would think so, too. But
so yeah, who is now you've piqued my interest. Who is in the mascot Final Four? So obviously Duke.
Yep, Duke, Iowa State, Miami, I believe. Arizona State. I had Sun Devils versus Blue Devils. Yes.
And then Hurricanes versus Cyclones.
I believe so.
Okay. Wow. So it's almost like a mirror image matchup.
Yeah.
Like when you had to play Mortal Kombat and you had to fight yourself.
Exactly. I did have Paladins winning, so...
Well, there you go.
Furman got the win in that bracket.
I mean, that's just impressive. my nephew picked that game as well, so, you know, at least one person in my family got that one right.
There you go. We got a prodigy going.
Yeah. So... in your Hammer and Rails bracket, in your official bracket, if you want to go ahead and pull that up, so just so you know, because sounds like you might have a lot to remember, who is in your Final Four? I'll give you mine first, so I can give you a minute to pull yours up. I have, well, Arizona, which we know is wrong, Arizona and Purdue on one side, and then the other side I have Xavier UCLA.
Okay. I have Virginia and Purdue.
Well, so there we go. So both of us have really messed up the South region.
Yep, and then for the other two regions, I have also Xavier and UConn.
Okay, I thought, yeah, I had UConn going pretty far, if I'm remembering correctly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had them going in the Elite Eight, and then they
UCLA
lost to
UCLA. UCLA is in my Elite Eight. Yeah, okay, so we just flipped those. So what's the path you put for Purdue? Who were their matchups?
So Purdue, I have beating Fairleigh Dickinson, then FAU, and then Duke, and then Marquette.
I have the exact same, except I put Memphis.
Yeah. Everybody is saying that FAU is a sneaky good team and could really take down Memphis. So I got suckered in by everything I was reading and hearing, so... that could be really wrong, but it was just everybody was talking about it, so I went with the crowd. I got peer pressured into it, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, my mascot matchups is going to have a fun day. It's the Missouri Tigers versus the Princeton Tigers.
Okay, so how do you make that decision?
At that point, the tiebreaker is whoever has a cooler looking mascot.
Okay. I'd have to look at them side by side, because I can't. Yeah. I can't really... I could probably pick out the Missouri Tiger, but I don't know that I could pick out the Princeton Tiger.
Yeah, I feel like the Princeton Tiger is, like, better
maybe
for some
fancier.
Reason.
Maybe he wears a tuxedo because he's an Ivy League.
Yes.
Maybe he's got a top hat and a monocle because he ate the Monopoly guy.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
So, in your official Hammer and Rails bracket, we went the Final Four. Who do you have in your final game, and who do you have winning it?
Well, I have Purdue beating UConn.
Okay. I have Purdue beating UCLA. I mainly did it for narrative reasons. I think Purdue-UCLA, obviously it's a matchup that's happened before in the NCAA tournament, a big history between the two programs, and they will soon be in the same conference. The way it worked out, I thought that was my best matchup. So Purdue-UCLA with Purdue as my champion. But, you know, March is always a scary time for a Purdue fan. In my heart of hearts, I think they can go the whole way. I mean, I do. I think they have the talent to beat anybody, and I think Zach Edey can neutralize a lot of the problems that Purdue has if the three-point mm-hmm. shooting isn't falling. But it's just, you just never know. I mean, you look today, Arizona lost, Virginia lost. I mean, big-name programs lose to lesser teams all the time, and right. you just never know when it's going to strike. It's a single elimination tournament with little preparation, and anything can happen. There's a reason they call it March Madness.
Yeah. In our group so far, our Hammer and Rails group, the best so far is 7 out of 10.
Oof. Does it tell you how many brackets we had submitted?
It just says 250 plus.
Wow.
So, I mean, technically, 282.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm glad you could put this together for us. I know you were the one who took charge, so thank you for mm-hmm. doing that.
Yeah.
I am currently, by the way, in 107th, tied for 107th, so not looking great for me.
I am 34th.
Whew. I fell down fast, let me just tell you. So, you know, we've seen throughout the Big Ten, Maryland won earlier today mm-hmm. in a real ugly game against West Virginia.
Oh, that was so up and down.
Yeah. Illinois lost. They absolutely looked terrible for the majority of that game. Mm-hmm. And Iowa is playing as we record, and they're currently down double digits to Auburn. So, mm-hmm. you know, the Big Ten not exactly showing their best self today.
Right.
But, you know, Penn State is still to go. They play late tonight. And then future Big Ten member UCLA plays even later. They're the 10:05 tip. So should be another couple good games today. For anybody worried about Purdue as a number one seed, the two number one seeds who play today, each won by 20-plus points, Kansas 96, Howard 68, and then Alabama 96, Texas A&M Corpus Christi, coached by former Purdue assistant Steve Lutz with
Steve
75.
Lutz. Yeah.
So both of them won by 20-plus, which was great because DraftKings offered me a nice little parlay that both of them would win by 20, so I turned some money into some more money. So that was great. So no matter what happens on my other bets, I've already come out ahead for the day, so pretty happy with that. Although I did bet on Illinois, and that was a mistake. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Mm. Yeah, they've been getting bounced in tournaments a lot lately.
Yeah, and it was as someone pointed out on Twitter about Virginia, their last four NCAA tournaments lost in the first round, won the national title, lost in the first round, lost in the first round.
Ugh.
Like what?
All is the higher seed, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, just they lost to a 16, obviously. Then they won it all. And then they were a 4 and a 4, I believe. And so they lost to 13 seeds in back-to-back years, if I'm remembering that right.
That sounds correct. They were 4 or 5 last year.
So, I mean, just absolutely a crazy string of events for Virginia and their fans. mm-hmm. But, you know, I think most schools' fans would trade places with them anytime just because they've got that national title right there. So you'll take a little heartbreak every, you know, 3 out of 4 years if you reach the mountaintop in that fourth one. So
mm-hmm.
it's been a hell of an interesting few years for Virginia.
Yep.
So anything else sticking out about these early games before we take a break and focus on Fairleigh Dickinson?
No, I don't think so. No other major upsets, really. I think one of the bigger upsets was the 12 not beating the 5 in Charleston.
Yeah, it does happen a lot. But you know, there's still three more of them to go.
Mm-hmm.
Duke is crushing Oral Roberts right now. Oh, I did want to say this. This is another DraftKings thing. So, you know, they make their own parlays that they try to like push on you. And most of the time, they're, like, very bad, and the odds of them are outrageous. So they're just trying to get people to throw money at them. But one of them today, they grouped together Oral Roberts and Colgate.
Oh, okay. I know exactly why.
Yeah, exactly. They clearly did it as a joke, because Oral Roberts, Colgate is a toothpaste. And they did them both to win and score so many points or whatever, and I was like, While that would be fun to be able to root for, I am not wasting money on what is clearly a doomed to fail parlay, and I made the right choice there as Duke is currently up 52-27 on Oral Roberts, and I don't imagine they're going to come back from being down 25.
No, I don't think so. And Colgate's down, like you said, 11 right now. So
yeah, not great. So one more thing before we take a break. Purdue women are currently playing St. John's, and it is not looking good. They're currently down 60-45, and it's
48 now.
Oh, okay. And it's the third quarter, so down 12. Not a ton of time left there. We'll keep an eye on it as we record, but not looking too good for the Purdue women right now. But hey, we were surprised they made it in the tournament. You know, second year under Katie Gerald, so I think she's got the program going in the right direction. So,
for sure.
Yeah, so we'll take a break, and then we're going to take a closer look at Fairleigh Dickinson.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
And we're back. So as promised, we're going to take a look at Purdue's upcoming game against Fairleigh Dickinson. Fairleigh Dickinson, of course, had to play in the play-in game, but they did come out victorious. So that is who Purdue is playing and not Texas Southern. Now, Ryan, were you able to watch any of this game last night?
Not too much. I watched a bit. I was more so focused on whoever's running the fake Barstool account for Texas Southern.
Yeah, what a gig that person gave themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We assume it's an IU fan who was just trolling for no reason, but like,
right.
I really wish you had better things to do in your life, my man. Like, come on.
Yep, but yeah, I mean, wasn't particularly close at all. They looked prepared and they played well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Texas Southern looked very bad. So you have to take that into consideration. You know who they were playing, but man, they could not shoot the ball. Texas Southern and you know, both of the teams looked bad. There's no getting around that, but. Did you learn anything about Fairleigh Dickinson during this game?
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, I love it. Okay, let's hear it.
They are the shortest team in Division One,
which is just wild to me that that is a stat someone keeps.
Yeah, their tallest player is 6'7".
And I don't think he plays very much.
No, he does not. Beyond that, they have a couple 6'6" guys, and... Yeah, that's their tallest player. Their roster, they don't even list that they have a center.
Just wild.
So, two things that they are really known for is being short, and their defense is not good.
Yeah. Yeah, so on KenPom, I believe going into the game, they were 361st out of 363. They bumped up a couple spots after that game. When I looked last, they were 359th. Out of 363.
Okay. Yeah. Someone tweeted when they were still 361 that it is the largest disparity in KenPom rankings between an offense of one team and a defense of another since they started tracking. Because Purdue, I believe at the time, was ranked 9th.
Yeah. And I mean, it would have to be. I mean, I can't imagine a larger disparity. You know, yeah. A larger disparity is almost impossible.
Right.
So they're bad on defense. They do press, so that got every Purdue fan who was on Twitter or on our spaces in a bit of a twist because they assume if a team runs a press, Purdue cannot handle it. But as I pointed out on our spaces, two things. Just because you run a press doesn't mean you run a good press.
Right.
And two, even though Purdue has, you know, struggled at times against the press, we've probably really only lost one game because of a press. Yeah. And so, you know, we've made games much more uncomfortable. We've gotten games much closer than they need to. But ultimately, you know, Purdue finds a way to win, and that is what it's all about.
Yeah, and the thing about the press is the teams Purdue struggled against when there was press have long guards. They have guards who are taller. If you have short guards, they, you know, they might be quick, but that doesn't mean they're going to give you issues when you have to trap them in a press. So it's a different type of dynamic that these teams bring. So as you said, you can do it all the time, but that doesn't mean you're doing it well.
Yeah.
So I don't see an issue. Heck, they're short enough to where I put on Twitter, I'm like, if you just throw a football pass to Edie every time, just let him go up and get it.
Yeah, I mean, honest to God, it would be incredible if Purdue would just run an offense where Edie just goes down low and lifts his arms and we just throw it to him every time. Because exactly. I really don't think they could stop him. Because the guy who's 6'7 barely plays. So the tallest guy they play really is like 6'4, maybe 6'5. And that's how they're listed. You know, if you're listed at 6'4, 6'5, it means you're probably 6'2, 6'3. So Edie literally probably has a foot on their tallest player, which is just outrageous for an NCAA tournament game. And, I mean, how much do you think Edie's going to get in this game?
Oh, I think he gets his normal 20, 25. Honestly, I don't expect it to be a close game in any way. So I think Edie might be getting some rest for that next game.
Gotcha.
But by the time the first half ends, he might be racking up a 20 piece. He might be 20 and 10 by halftime.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that. I could absolutely see that because they just have no one that matches up with him, no one that can guard him. Mm-hmm. And we've seen even when teams have somebody to match up against Edie, he can overpower them. He's got great footwork, great hands, and a hook shot that's impossible to stop. So if you're doing those kind of things against a guy who is a foot shorter than you and clearly overmatched athletically, I think Edie can just do some real, real damage in this game. And I really do hope you're right, that it allows him to get some rest. Not that, you know, he can't play on, you know, basically a day and a half of rest, but anything you can do to make the second matchup easier, you need to do in this first game. We all saw the video of the Fairleigh Dickinson coach in the locker room. You know, whether he said, I want Purdue to see this or I don't want Purdue to see this, it's unclear. But he said something along the lines of, you know, the more I watch Purdue, the more I think we can beat him. And Purdue fans are giving this coach a lot of crap, myself included, because it got recorded. But like, that's what you have to say as the coach. You can't go in and be like, look, guys, we're just lucky to be here. We're screwed. This team's really good. I have found no weaknesses. You got to go in there and you got to hype them up. So, you know, I understand we're giving this coach crap because it's a game and we're in trash talk mode right now. But at the same time, any coach would say the exact same thing. It's just unfortunate for him that it got recorded.
For sure. So, I mean, yeah, you have to give crap to the guy, but like, he said what he had to.
Yeah, he's doing his job. He's doing his job. I mean, I don't know what anybody expects him to say other than, I think we can beat him. So, you know, he's doing his job. He's out there fighting for his guys, and I got to respect him for that. Now, one of the interesting things about this matchup is that these two teams have played before in the NCAA tournament. You know, we played back in 1988, and that whole path for Purdue in 1988 is just bizarrely similar to what Purdue could face this year, because Fairleigh Dickinson was their first round opponent when Purdue was a one seed, by the way. And after that, we played Memphis. And I'm sorry, we played Memphis in like the third round. And so Purdue could literally play Memphis in the second round this year. And then there's one other team that's the same. And I was trying to pull up the schedule as I spoke, but
Was it Duke?
It might have been. But I mean, either way, just the fact that we're playing the same team as a one seed is sort of bizarre. Oh, okay, yes. So we played Fairleigh Dickinson, and then we played Memphis in the second round. So it could literally be the same two teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played K-State, and K-State was the team that beat us. And Purdue could, you know, in theory, if everything works out, could play K-State in, I think, the Elite Eight.
Okay. Now, is that Kennesaw or Kent?
Oh, well, Kansas.
Oh, duh. There's like three.
Yeah, I guess there are a lot of K-States, I guess.
So, gotcha.
Yeah, the Wildcats. Now I'm looking at the bracket to see where Kansas State is, because I know they were in, yeah, they were in our, they're in our region.
They're the three.
Yeah, so we would play them in the Elite Eight you know, both of that match up. So we could literally play the exact same three teams that we played in 1988.
Okay.
As a one seed both times. And, like, that is just so strange to me. Like, what a weird happenstance.
I don't think I'd complain, because that would mean Purdue's in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would love that. And then, but Kansas State is certainly a scary team. They're really long. They're really athletic. But,
right.
You know, when you get to the Elite Eight, everybody's scary. You're just trying to win another game. So, I as a one seed, I don't want to have to worry about this Fairleigh Dickinson game. As a Purdue fan, I worry about every game. But I don't anticipate this one being much of a nail-biter, simply because the Fairleigh Dickinson defense is really so bad. I could see the game working out that they come out and shoot it fairly well to start the game, and people get a little scared and make some – they make some threes, and people get worried and worried. But I don't imagine they'll be able to maintain it, and I think Purdue's offense is just going to be able to overpower them in the end.
Yeah, that's how I honestly see this game going, and you saw it with the two other one seeds already.
Yeah,
it's like there's a reason that one seeds have only lost one game in their history, and it just doesn't happen. As you said, as Purdue fans, you got to be wary of it. But as you've seen enough games to where you like our odds, very much so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would imagine if you go and look at every bracket in the Hammer and Rails Bracket Challenge, I would imagine all 200 and whatever, 280 whatever, have picked Purdue, and yet. Mm-hmm. You're going to see some Purdue fans sweating when it's like 7-4 tomorrow. They're going to be like, I don't know. Yeah. We're a nervous bunch of fans. There's no two ways about it. So I think I look for Zach Edey to just absolutely dominate this game. And I'm hoping that David Jenkins Jr. and Brandon Newman can continue their hot shooting, and Newman can continue his great defense.
Yes.
And I want so much more than anything right now. I think the one thing I would love to see tomorrow is Fletcher Lawyer turn it around, find his shot again, and get out there and play like we saw when he was out in Portland. You know, I don't know if the reports of a calf issue were true. I don't know if it is true, how bad it is, but I just Purdue needs him to play well. Newman and Jenkins Jr. have picked up a lot of the slack. As far as three-point shooting. So you can kind of, you know, say that Lawyer playing his best is a bonus. But having another great guard is immeasurably valuable in the NCAA tournament. So to have him get back to playing to what he's capable of would just be so huge for this team. And I'm really hoping for him that it does happen.
Yeah. I agree, and one other thing I'd like to see is I'd like to see Jenkins get 11.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So for those that don't know, he is 11 points away from 2,000 points in his career.
Yep.
And, you know, you never know how many games you're going to have in the NCAA tournament. Purdue literally could lose tomorrow. They could have only one game. So I want him to get 11. Just because what an amazing accomplishment for him. So that is a good point. We should pay attention to that tomorrow. So I want to ask you one more question. Who do you think is going to be the leading scorer for Purdue tomorrow? And if it is Zach Edey, who do you think is going to be the second leading scorer?
Okay. I definitely think it's going to be Zach Edey. I think he's getting number one. Second? I think I'm going to pull the Braden Smith card.
He's exactly who I was going to say. He has been playing great as of late. You know, he really struggled, just like Lawyer did for a little bit there. But he seems to have turned the corner, and he's kind of back where we need him to be, leading this squad from the point guard position. So, I think him and Edey have really been connecting well recently, and I think that's gonna really help propel Purdue forward in this game. But man, I would really like to see Purdue just put on a statement performance, never leave any doubt, and just beat them by, you know, 35, 40 points.
For sure.
It would just be great. So, for those curious, when these two teams did play in 1988, Purdue won 94-79. So, you know, a 15-point win. Nothing spectacular, but the game never really in doubt. So, I would love something like that tomorrow. So, Ryan, I know you're going to be in attendance tomorrow. What time are you getting there?
I have yet to figure out my entire travel plans.
Okay.
I will definitely be there before tip.
I would hope.
Yeah. And then, so it's about a 5-hour drive for me, plus I lose an hour.
Oh, right.
But, yep, I will be leaving tomorrow, and I'll be there all weekend, given a Purdue victory. So, and I will be with shirt.
Yeah, so that was the next question. That was my next question. So,
yep.
Is it already packed? Because I don't want any shenanigans where you would get like halfway there and be like, oh, I forgot to pack it.
Oh, it's already in its case.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so no worries there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad. I'm excited for you to be there. I hope you get a good seat. And, you know, we will check back in and record probably, gosh, going to have to be Saturday. And then we'll get that out, looking either toward the next game or recapping the second ever loss by a 1-seed to a 16. So either way, we'll have something to talk about, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's hope it's the former.
Yeah, I hope so, too. So... there we go, folks. Fairleigh Dickinson, Purdue, tip-off, 6:40 or 6:50?
6:40.
6:40, there you go. 6:40 Eastern time. You know, it's going to be exciting. It's March Madness. This is what the whole season is built for. So let's go out there and take down Fairleigh Dickinson. Boiler up.
Yep. Hammer down.